A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He wants an episode for small business owners and independent consultants on the key documents worth having on hand, especially now that agentic AI can generate and populate templates for you. His angle is that the documentation a consultant produces shapes client expectations and signals professionalism, and following a standardized sequence from quote through delivery creates an implicit framework that benefits the consultant and reassures the client. He wants us to walk through the classic B2B sales cycle stage by stage, covering which documents matter when, what each one actually contains, and how AI tooling collapses the effort of maintaining a clean documentation stack. And he specifically said to give people a concrete mental model rather than a dry list.
I love this topic. And by the way, DeepSeek 5.4 Pro is writing our script today, so credit where it's due for whatever comes out of my mouth next.
Let's hope it's better than what usually comes out of your mouth.
But here's why this matters right now. We're at this inflection point where the friction that used to make documentation feel like overhead has basically vanished. You used to stare at a blank page for an hour writing a statement of work. Now you describe the project to an agent, and it produces a draft that's maybe 80% there. The cost of having clean documentation has dropped to nearly zero, which means the signal of not having it is getting louder.
That's the part I think most people miss. It's not just that AI makes it easier to create documents. It's that the baseline expectation shifts. If every other consultant your client talks to can produce a polished scope document in 20 minutes, the one who sends a two-paragraph email instead looks actively worse than they would have 5 years ago.
And Daniel's framing about the implicit framework is the deeper insight. The documents aren't just artifacts, they're waypoints in a psychological journey. Each one tells the client where you are in the process and what to expect next. That predictability is worth real money in consulting relationships.
Let's build the mental model. I'm picturing a pipeline with distinct stages, and at each stage there's a document that serves as the handoff point. You're not just sending paperwork, you're marking a transition.
Let's start at the very top of the funnel. This is where you're identifying potential clients and making first contact. The document that matters here isn't a proposal. It's too early for that. What you actually need is a capability statement or a one-page credential summary.
Most small consultants don't have one of those.
And it's a mistake. A capability statement is essentially your professional resume formatted as a business document. It says who you are, what problems you solve, who you've solved them for, and what makes you different. It's not customized to any particular client. It's your standard introduction piece.
It's the document you send before you know what they need, just to establish that you're worth talking to.
And AI makes this trivial to maintain. You keep a master version with all your projects and credentials, and when you're reaching out to someone in a specific industry, you ask an agent to produce a variant that surfaces the most relevant experience. Same substance, different emphasis. That used to take an hour of reformatting.
What's actually in it, structurally?
Typically 4 or 5 sections. Company overview, which for an independent consultant is basically your professional background framed as a practice. Core services, with maybe 3 to 5 bullet points each. Representative projects, which is where you name drop without being obnoxious about it. Any certifications or credentials that matter in your field, and contact information, obviously. The whole thing fits on one page. 2 if you're more established, but 1 is better for cold outreach.
You're not sending this instead of a conversation. You're sending it to get the conversation.
That's the key distinction. The capability statement opens the door. The conversation is where you learn enough to write the next document.
Which brings us to the proposal stage. Someone's expressed interest. You've had a discovery call. Now they want to know what working with you would look like and what it would cost.
The proposal is where a lot of consultants get stuck because they think it needs to be this massive bespoke document. It doesn't. A good consulting proposal has a very clear structure. Problem statement. You're demonstrating that you understood what they told you. Proposed approach. Here's how you'd solve it at a high level. Scope of services, what specifically you will and won't do, timeline and milestones, and your qualifications, which is basically a condensed version of the capability statement tailored to this specific project.
The problem statement is the part most people phone in, and it's actually the most important section for building trust.
It's the part where the client thinks, okay, this person actually listened. If you can articulate their problem back to them more clearly than they articulated it to you, you've already differentiated yourself from 90% of competitors. Most proposals jump straight to, here's what we'll do, without ever establishing that they understood the problem.
How does AI help with proposals specifically?
First, you can feed it your notes from the discovery call and have it draft the problem statement. That's the hardest section to write from scratch, and the one where AI actually excels because it's synthesis. Second, you can maintain a library of scope language for different types of projects and have the agent assemble the relevant pieces. You can describe the project parameters and ask the agent to suggest a fee structure based on your historical rates and the market context you provide.
I'd be careful with that last one. Pricing is still a human judgment call.
The AI suggests a range and a structure, fixed price versus time and materials versus retainer, but you make the final call. What the AI eliminates is the blank page problem of what should I even charge for this? It gives you a starting point based on whatever parameters you've taught it.
Okay, proposal's accepted. Now we're in contract territory. Statement of work, scope document, whatever you call it.
This is where the handshake becomes a legal agreement, and I want to be clear. I'm not a lawyer. Nothing we say here is legal advice. But from a business process standpoint, the statement of work is the document that protects both parties by being excruciatingly specific about what's included and what's not.
The what's not might be more important than the what is.
It absolutely is. Scope creep is the number one profitability killer in consulting, and the only defense is a document that says in writing these specific things are out of scope and will require a change order if requested. When the client asks for something extra, you don't have to have an awkward conversation, you just point to the document you both signed.
What sections does a proper SOW contain?
Project objectives and success criteria. What does done look like? Detailed scope of work broken into phases or work streams. Deliverables with descriptions and acceptance criteria for each one. Timeline with specific dates or date ranges. Assumptions and constraints. This is where you list things like client will provide access to internal systems within 5 business days of kickoff, or project assumes existing data is in CSV. Format. Roles and responsibilities. Who does what on both sides. Pricing and payment schedule. And the change order process, which is its own section explaining how scope changes will be handled.
The assumption section is another one. People skip. And it's the one that saves you when the client says, I thought you were going to clean the data too.
Every assumption you don't write down is a future argument you've agreed to have. And AI makes it much easier to be thorough here because you can describe the project to an agent and ask, what assumptions am I implicitly making that I should make explicit? It'll surface things you didn't think to write down because they seemed obvious to you.
Proposal gets you the yes. SOW defines the boundaries. What's next?
This is the stage between signing and actually starting work, and it's criminally underdocumented by most small consultants. The document you want here is a kickoff deck or a project initiation document.
What's the difference between a kickoff deck and the SOW? The SO already says what you're doing.
The SOW is a contract. The kickoff document is an operational plan. It translates the legal language into, here's what happens week one, here's who we need to talk to, here's how we'll communicate. It's the document that gets the team aligned, and it's especially important if the client has multiple stakeholders who weren't involved in the sales process.
The SOW is for the person who signed the check, and the kickoff document is for the people you'll actually work with day to day.
The signatory cares about deliverables and price. The project team cares about process and communication cadence. Different audiences, different documents. A good kickoff document covers project objectives in plain language, team members and their roles on both sides, the communication plan, weekly check-ins, Slack channel, whatever, the detailed timeline for the first phase, immediate next steps and who owns them, and any access or resources you need from the client right now.
I've seen consultants skip this and then wonder why the client's team is confused about what's happening, even though everyone signed the contract.
The contract sits in a file folder. The kickoff document is what people actually reference. As for AI, this is one of the highest leverage places to use it, because a kickoff document is mostly a reformatting and translation exercise. You feed the agent your SOW, your discovery notes, and the names and roles of everyone involved, and it produces a draft that you then customize. What used to take half a day takes 30 minutes.
All right, project's underway. Now we're in the rhythm of delivery. What documents keep things on track?
And I know that sounds obvious, but the quality bar for status reporting has gone up dramatically because AI can now produce genuinely useful ones with almost no effort. The old model was a bullet point email you dashed off in 5 minutes. The new model is a structured update that actually helps the client understand progress, risks, and decisions needed.
What does a good status report actually contain?
Accomplishments since the last report, what got done? Planned work for the next period, what's happening next? Blockers or risks, what's in the way and what you're doing about it? Key decisions needed from the client. This is the most important section and the one most people leave out. And budget or timeline status, are you on track, ahead, or behind?
The decisions needed section is interesting. It transforms the status report from a passive update into an action-forcing mechanism.
That's exactly the right framing. A status report that doesn't ask for anything is just a newsletter. A status report that says we need a decision on X by Friday or the timeline slips is a project management tool. And clients actually appreciate it because it helps them prioritize.
How frequently should these go out?
Weekly for most projects, bi-weekly for longer engagements with less intensity. The consistency matters more than the frequency. If you send a status report every Thursday at 4 o'clock for 6 months, the client stops worrying about whether things are on track, because the rhythm itself is the signal.
AI's role here?
This is where agentic AI gets interesting. You can set up a workflow where an agent has access to your project management tool, your calendar, and your communication threads, and it drafts the status report automatically based on what actually happened that week. You review and tweak, but you're not assembling it from scratch. Some of the platforms now, there was a piece in The Information a few months back about how companies like Notion and ClickUp are baking this directly into their products. The status report essentially writes itself from the activity log.
I'm skeptical of fully automated status reports. The consultant's judgment about what's worth highlighting is the value add.
I agree completely. The AI drafts, you curate. The AI doesn't know that the client's CFO is nervous about the data migration timeline and that you should proactively address that, even though nothing's technically wrong. You add that layer. But the AI saves you from the mechanical work of listing everything that happened.
Mid-project, things change. The client wants something different or additional. That's where change orders come in.
Change orders are the document that separates profitable consultancies from struggling ones. Every piece of scope creep needs to be captured in writing, with an associated cost and timeline impact before you do the work. The sequence is, client requests something out of scope, you say, let me put together a change order for that. You document what they're asking for and what it means for. Budget and timeline, they approve it, then you start.
What's actually in a change order document?
It's relatively short. Description of the change, what's being requested. Impact on scope, what new work is required. Impact on timeline, how many days or weeks this adds. Impact on budget, the additional cost. And an approval signature line. The whole thing is usually a page or two. The key is that it creates a clean paper trail so that 6 months later nobody argues about why the project costs more than the original estimate.
The psychological trick here is that the change order isn't you being difficult, it's you being professional. You're not saying no, you're saying yes, and here's what that means.
That reframing is everything. And AI helps here in a specific way. It can compare the change request against the original SOW and flag exactly which sections of the original scope are being modified. That cross-referencing is tedious to do manually and easy to miss something.
Projects wrapping up. Delivery sign-off.
The delivery acceptance document. This is the one that says the client has received the deliverables. They meet the acceptance criteria defined in the SOW, and the project is complete, or at least this phase is complete. Without this, you can end up in the consulting purgatory where the project never officially ends and you're still getting quick questions 6 months later.
What's in it?
List of deliverables with checkboxes or status indicators for each one. Reference back to the acceptance criteria from the SOW. Any known issues or limitations that were agreed upon. The dashboard loads within 3 seconds on current data volume. Performance may degrade if data volume doubles. That kind of thing. A section for outstanding items if there are any, with owners and due dates. And a signature block. Once this is signed, the project has a hard edge.
I've noticed that the best consultants treat the delivery sign-off as a celebratory moment rather than a bureaucratic formality. It's the document that says, we did what we said we'd do.
That's an underappreciated point. The sign-off document is a branding opportunity. It's the last substantive document the client sees before the invoice, and it should reinforce that working with you was organized, professional, and satisfying. A clean, well-structured acceptance document that makes it easy for the client to say, yes, this is done, leaves a good final impression.
Now the invoice.
The invoice should be boring. It should look exactly like what the client expects based on the SO and any change orders. Invoice number, date, your business information, their business information, description of services with reference to the relevant SOW or change order, amount due, payment terms, payment instructions. If the client is surprised by anything on the invoice, you failed at an earlier stage.
That's the test. If the invoice is a surprise, your documentation process broke somewhere.
The invoice is the least interesting document in the stack, and that's by design. All the interesting conversations about money should have happened during the proposal, the SOW, and the change orders. By the time the invoice arrives, the client should already know exactly what it's going to say.
AI's role in invoicing is mostly automation, pulling line items from the SOW and change orders, applying the payment schedule, generating the document. Low cognitive load, high time savings.
The final document in the cycle, and the one that almost nobody does, is the account review or project closeout summary.
This is the one that generates referrals.
It generates referrals and it generates repeat business. A closeout summary says, here's what we accomplished, here are the metrics that improved, here are the loose ends or opportunities we identified for future work, and here's how to reach me if you need anything. It's a document that makes the client look good internally because they can forward it to their boss and say, look what we got done.
What's the structure?
Executive summary of outcomes, the before and after. Key metrics or results quantified wherever possible. Summary of deliverables delivered. Lessons learned or observations. This is where you add value beyond the original scope by sharing insights you picked up during the engagement. Recommendations for next steps or phase 2. And a thank you that's genuine, not boilerplate.
The lessons learned section is the differentiator. It's the part that positions you as a strategic partner, rather than a vendor who completed a transaction.
It's the section where AI is least helpful because it requires genuine insight from the consultant's brain. The AI can format the document and pull the deliverable list from the SOW, but it can't tell the client. Based on what I saw in your data infrastructure, you should probably invest in pipeline monitoring before you scale the analytics layer. That's you.
Let's step back and talk about the mental model. You've walked us through 9 document types across the sales and delivery cycle. How should someone think about maintaining all of this?
I think of it as a documentation stack with 3 layers. The bottom layer is templates, 1 master template for each document type maintained in whatever tool you use with your branding and standard language. The middle layer is the AI generation layer. You describe the specific project or situation and the agent populates the template with relevant content. The top layer is human review and customization. You add judgment, nuance, and the things only you know about the client relationship.
The templates are the foundation. And they're worth investing real time in upfront.
Spend a day building really good templates for each of these 9 document types. Get the structure right, get the language right, include placeholder text that prompts you to fill in the right information. Do it once, and then the AI populates them forever. The template quality determines the ceiling on what the AI can produce.
What tooling are people actually using for this in practice?
It depends on your stack. But the common pattern right now is some combination of a document tool like Google Docs or Notion for the templates, an AI assistant, Claude, ChatGPT, whatever you prefer, for the generation, and increasingly a project management tool that ties it all together. The more sophisticated setups use automation platforms like Zapier or Make to trigger document generation based on project stage changes.
You mentioned Notion earlier. They've been aggressively adding AI features. So has ClickUp.
The project management platforms are all racing to make documentation a native feature rather than something you do in a separate tool. The vision is that when you move a project from proposal to active in your project tracker, it automatically generates a draft kickoff document and a status report template. We're not fully there yet for most tools, but the direction is clear.
One thing I want to flag. There's a risk here of over-documenting. Not every client engagement needs all 9 document types. A 2-week quick-turn project doesn't need the same documentation weight as a 6-month implementation.
That's an important caveat. The framework scales. For a small project, your proposal might be a 2-page document that combines the capability statement, proposal, and SOW into one. Your status updates might be a Slack message. The mental model is the same. You still need to define scope, track progress, handle changes, and close out, but the formality of the documents should be proportional to the size and risk of the engagement.
The principle is consistency, not volume. Pick the documents that matter for your practice and use them every time.
The consistency itself becomes a selling point. When a client has worked with you once and experienced the rhythm, proposal, kickoff, weekly status reports, clean sign-off, no surprise invoice, they'll want to work with you again, partly because they know what to expect. The documentation stack is a product feature of your consultancy.
That's the underappreciated dimension Daniel was getting at. The documents aren't bureaucracy. They're the user interface of your business.
And now that AI has collapsed the effort required to maintain that interface, there's really no excuse for a consultant who charges professional rates to have an amateur documentation process. The market is going to sort this out quickly.
If you're a small business owner or independent consultant listening to this, the one thing to do this week is build your template library. Start with the SOW and the status report. Those are the highest leverage documents for most people, and then expand from there.
Teach your AI assistant about your business. Feed it your past proposals, your past SOWs, your pricing philosophy, your communication style. The more context you give it, the better the drafts will be and the less time you'll spend editing.
The other thing I'd add is that none of this requires technical sophistication. You don't need to write code or set up complex automations. A folder of well-structured templates and a conversation with an AI assistant gets you 80% of the value.
The barrier is not technical, it's habitual. You have to decide that documentation is part of the work, not something that happens after the work. Once you internalize that, the tools make it easy.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1980s, researchers studying carnivorous plants in Greenland discovered that the translucent leaves of certain butterwort species act as natural Fresnel lenses, concentrating ultraviolet light onto their sticky surfaces to attract UV-sensitive prey, essentially turning the entire leaf into a living optical trap.
A living Fresnel lens on a leaf. I have questions I'm not sure I want answered.
I'm trying to picture a butterwort in Greenland, and frankly, my mental image is just ice with goo on it.
Something to think about. In the meantime, the forward-looking thought I want to leave people with is this. The consultants who treat documentation as a strategic asset rather than administrative overhead are going to win disproportionately in the next few years. The tools are here. The templates are straightforward. The only remaining barrier is the decision to take it seriously.
If you want to dig deeper into the practical side of this, we've got show notes and resources over at My Weird Prompts.
This has been My Weird Prompts, with thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you found this useful, leave us a review wherever you listen. It helps other people find the show.
We'll be back soon. Go build your templates.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the
hosting deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.